Live from the Hoosier Media Studios. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier on the Hoosier Media Network.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome into The Voice of Reason, rocking it out here on a Friday. It's a free-for-all Friday, broadcasting live on the Hoosier Media Network, all over social media, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, all that good jazz. Plus, we have the live stream up on the Podbean app as well, and some new people jumping on there already, so welcome aboard. Great to have you along for the ride today. It is such an odd day, and I apologize for the last couple days off. It has been it could be the coronavirus doing its thing and rocking out with us here as well. But I have had the crazy cold, the stuffiness, the ridiculousness, and it's just been very difficult. So we figured we'd put on a best of for the last couple of days. But we're back at it. We're live, which means it's a free-for-all Friday, and you can talk about whatever you'd like to do. So we have a lot to try and cover today between the latest on the campaign updates. Bernie Sanders, can he have the nomination stolen away from him? It's very possible. Superdelegates came out and said that they may not vote for him if it goes into a brokered convention in June. So we'll see what they have to say and see the latest on that one. Plus, I want to get into some education as well. 50 states and the history classes, according to the Times, is saying that now we are being taught in our public education system that the Revolutionary War was fought over, it wasn't freedom, but it was over slavery. I don't know. Over slavery. So that's a little strange. So I want to get into that here in just a little bit as well. First off, I want to start off. And by the way, you can contact the show. You can leave comments all over the social media chats, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter, and Twitch, all that good jazz. Plus, with the Podbean stream, you can leave a comment there. Say hi, please do, with all the nice little hearts and points that we get for that, because that just makes my day. It's kind of like a State of the Union speech. You want to be interrupted a certain amount of times, and they grade you based on how many points and how many applauses you get. So we're going to base it on how many hearts we get on Podbean Live. So go on there, stream it, say hi, leave a comment, share it onto your own page, whatever you want to do. We appreciate it. We hit our record, by the way, with Podbean subscribers, and now we go on to the next goal because it's a never-ending cycle. It's always bigger, better, faster, stronger, right? And that's what we're going to do. So go on there, subscribe to the Podbean app, follow us on Twitter, follow us on YouTube, on Facebook, that jazz. We like tripled in our Twitter followers in the last week, which is really cool, and I don't know why, but I appreciate it. At Hoosier Reason, you can do that. At Hoosier Reason on all the social media platforms. You can find us on there. Plus, you can go to the website as well at HoosierReason.com. Go on there, subscribe to the newsletter, and watch us live. We have the live stream up from YouTube feeding on there as well. We have the nice little survey for you to talk about your opinion on some of the political issues. All you got to do is go to HoosierReason.com. All right, that's my little plug for the day. Let's talk about, first off, some goodies. There is a hilarious news story from NBC, and they love to run this kind of stuff because why not? But as they try and find ways to rail on President Trump with the little jab into President Donald Trump, talk about the bad things about President Donald Trump, they love to run these types of things. Now, as you know, if you've ever been to a Trump rally, he likes to talk about silly things. He likes to crack jokes. He likes to exaggerate a little bit. It's like you sitting at the bar stool with somebody that likes to get a little carried away about how big the fish was that he actually caught, right? Now, some say, Andy, that's so unpresidential. That's not allowed to happen. Why are you defending something like that? That's absolutely preposterous and ridiculous. He should not be. He's the president of the United States. He's telling lies. He's telling falsehoods. He's manipulating. And that's what they try and say. And apparently it's not just the media, but it's the actual agencies as well. According to NBC News, the head of the EPA or EPA officials are reacting to President Trump ranting about toilets and showers. According to Veronica Blett, the chief water sense in the EPA's Office of Wastewater Management, emailed a handful of colleagues on December 6th saying, quote, "I can't even," with a sigh. Speaking to reporters at the White House early December, Trump said the EPA would, quote, be looking very strongly at sinks and showers and other elements of the bathroom. As he joked at one of the rallies, saying at his direction, insisting that, quote, people are flushing toilets 10, 15 times opposed to once, that they end up using more water because they're just not efficient enough. Now, as conservatives, we make these jokes all the time. And it's kind of true. You're not allowed to use as much water. So sometimes you get clogged more, so you have to flush it more, or it's still a little stained in the toilet, so you gotta flush more, or you need to wash your hands more because the sink just won't bring out water, so you have to hit the button a couple more times. It is kind of true. How many people have gone to a public restroom, let's say at a baseball game or at some kind of public venue, and you have the little button that you hit for the water to come out and it's timed, and it's not enough. You do the first time to be able to wet them down, then you get the soap when it stops, and you hit it again, and you wash the soap and do it, then sometimes you have to hit it a third time in order to rinse it, then you gotta go over and hit the little air thing with your elbow to try and dry it off. You're hitting the water more times, and you're potentially, just it's a pain in the you know what. It's ridiculous. Thanks to EPA environmental regulations. You're wasting too much water. Remember the regulations they tried to put into place a few years ago about timed showers? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, apartments and homes and everything should have timed showers. Therefore, we can like tell you exactly how much water you're allowed to use so we can save the environment. This is what the progressives and the environmental agencies want. Now, let me ask you something. Does anybody, show of hands, anybody know who Veronica Bletz is, the chief of Water Sense in the EPA's Office of Wastewater Management? Does anybody know who that is? So why is she? I get it. She's sending an email to her peers and coworkers and whoever, saying, I can't even, like, OMG. So upset about President Trump making a comment about that. Now, it's tongue in cheek. It's kind of funny. It's a little humorous. At the same time, there's some fact to it, and there's some truth to it. They don't care because, you should be saving water and like totally just like so happy that you're conserving water. Like, oh my gosh. And this is the way they work. This is why when President Trump talked about the climate change deal, the EPA members had tweeted out saying, "We don't support President Donald Trump because he doesn't support climate change and this and that and the other." And then they got fired because, well, that's sorry, but he's your boss because he heads up your agency. But my point is, why do we even have this type of agency? Because no one knows who it is. We didn't get to choose who runs this thing. And they're the ones trying to push out these ridiculous regulations. We always have, and I love this argument, and anybody that may be listening can have this argument with me because I enjoy it, on who is more transparent and who we can hold accountable more. Is it the private sector or the public sector? If there's an environmental regulation that comes out that says, businesses need to have cleaner smokestacks, and they put out that regulation. All right, they sign, it goes poof, there it is, environmental regulation out. EPA gets to come out to the business and the corporations, because they're evil, and you got to say, all right, you got to spend thousands of dollars to put on these additional filters, and you have to do that so the smoke comes out nice and clean out of the smokestack. And the business says, well, wait a second, I didn't approve of this, and I can't afford that, so now you're going to run me out of business. And the EPA says, well, if you want to actually operate as a business, this is just what you have to do. Did we sign on for that? No. So in turn, now the price of the good goes up because the business has more expenses to pay for the filter, and then it's more expensive, and it hits their bottom line, so they raise the price of the goods. And then you and me as the consumer now have to pay at a more expensive rate to purchase that good. Is that the way to do it? Because who actually said, that's a good idea and I want that to happen? Maybe some on the left side of the aisle that's like, oh, government's gonna save it. Maybe some on the left side of the aisle will say that. Or you hold the business accountable by saying, we want the smokestack to be cleaner. We want the environment to be pretty. We don't want you to be dumping things into our water system because that's drinkable water, and we don't want you to contaminate it with your chemicals. And if you do, we will not purchase your products. And if we do not purchase your products, then therefore you will not gain any revenue, and therefore you will go out of business. We can hold them accountable. And if we're happy and go lucky with what they're doing, then we go ahead and support them and they stay in business. We have control over that. As the consumer, you got to remember in our system, and this is something that maybe the progressive left doesn't remember at times, that the consumer and the individual has more power and more voice than what we get credit for. We have the power, baby. If we don't choose to like something, then we choose not to go there and spend our money there. And we have a limited amount of money until we actually get our tax cuts lower so we can actually have more money in our paychecks. But we have the power. We get to choose that. And not many people remember that. They're like, we need unions in order to fight it for us. We need the government to fight that battle for us because we can't hold that business accountable. Yes, you can. You can not purchase things that they offer. You can tell others to not purchase things that they offer. And when enough people realize and wake up and educate themselves, then you can make that movement. It all comes down to education. And sometimes people just don't want to be educated. Sometimes people just don't care to be educated. And sometimes people just have no interest in being educated. So they just go with the flow. They're just the masses that put on the blinders and just do what they're told. Which is why they work out to be nice, progressive liberals where the government just holds their hand and walks them through their entire life. Give us all your paycheck, we'll give you all your goodies, and you're good to go. And that's dangerous because then you get things like this where, according to the FederalistPapers.com or .org, I'm sorry, the FederalistPapers.org, students in all 50 states are now being taught that the Revolutionary War was fought to promote slavery. How does that even make sense? I want to touch on that when we come back. But let's take a break here first. But we'll go into a history lesson. Was it being fought to promote slavery? To me, that is the most absurd, ridiculous thing. But hey, welcome to the public education system, right? And we want more of it to be free through our taxpayer money for colleges. That's sarcasm, by the way, for those that may not grasp that. All right, we'll take a break here on the Hoosier Media Network. We're all over Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter, Twitch, plus the Podbean live stream there. We have some comments going on there, so thank you for it. A lot of people checking it out as we are rocking and rolling each and every day. It's a free-for-all Friday. Whatever's bothering you, let's go ahead and chat about it today, shall we? Stay here.
It's been a long, fun, nerve-wracking, and exciting journey to relaunch the program as an independent entity. Now we've launched our very own Hoosier Media Network to give you more content, more shows, more talk, on even many more different topics as well. We now have full reign to help fight for constitutional principles, traditional values, and even just individual improvement. But we need your help to reach more people. If you own a business or you want to help the show in any way, we're excited to work with our partners to take your message and ours to the next level. Together, we can educate, entertain, and bring wisdom and information to those who want it and to those who possibly need it. Let's fight for what's right together. Email us today at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Again, if you're a business owner looking to get your brand out or someone that just wants to help support the cause, we want to support you and support that cause as well. Email us at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Again, HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Also, for more information, content on the show, or to reach us as well, go to HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. As the show keeps growing, I want to make sure each and every Hoosier-holic stays in the loop. That's why you need to check out HoosierReason.com. Catch the weekly blog informing you on the latest news of the show, upcoming projects, and more. Plus, you can watch live shows, listen to all the podcasts, find affiliates of the show, catch special features, and a heck of a lot more. Plus, make sure to subscribe to our site and become an official Hoosier-holic. Get your monthly newsletter, latest news about the show, and recaps of current events all right to your email. It's the fastest-growing show in America. Don't miss a beat. Go to HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to join the show? We'd love to hear your thoughts during the program. And it's easy. First, send us a chat on the Facebook Live or YouTube Live streaming during the show anytime. Also, join us in the live chat room at HoosierReason.com. Just click on the Listen Live tab, watch the live stream, and chat with other listeners. You can also chat and even call into the show through the Podbean app. Just download the Podbean app on your smartphone, join the live stream, chat with other listeners, and even call us live through the Podbean app. You can argue with me, debate with me, or just let me know your thoughts of the show. No matter how you do it, be part of the show. Why? Because it's your show, and it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. The Voice of Reason, the show where you can chat, comment, or call in live each day during the program. All the information's at HoosierReason.com. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier with The Voice of Reason. I know it's a lot, but make sure to join us and follow us on all the social media platforms you use for all your updates. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Minds.com, Instagram, you name it, we're on it. Just search Hoosier Reason on all the platforms. Watch live shows, information about the show, the latest chat about current events, and more. Just search Hoosier Reason on any of your favorite social media sites and keep some reason in your day. It's kind of the reasonable thing to do. It's the voice of reason all over social media. Hey, miss a show? Don't worry about it. You have plenty of ways to watch, learn, and be entertained while enjoying The Voice of Reason anytime that you want. And here's how to do it. First, become a Hoosier-holic by going to HoosierReason.com and subscribing to the site newsletter to stay up on the latest. Second, subscribe to the podcast. Under the show podcast tab, click on the link to the Podbean site and subscribe. You'll get notified anytime new audio pops up. Plus, if you have iTunes or Spotify, you can subscribe to The Voice of Reason on those as well and have the shows automatically downloaded to your device. Third, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com and search my name, Andy Hoosier, and subscribe to the page. There you can follow all of our live shows, posted videos, and more. All the links and info are at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com.
From the Hoosier Media Network, It's the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, welcome back in on a free-for-all Friday here on The Voice Reason from the Hoosier Media Network, broadcasting live all over the place. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got some great chats going on the chat room on Podbean, so thanks. I love the comments on there. And yes, it is wrong that the EPA should be able to regulate stupid stuff like that. Yes, it is wrong that we even have an Environmental Protection Agency at all. I know that's a very controversial thing to say because many people don't like that. Well, Andy, how are we going to keep the environment clean? What are we going to do? How do we do something like that? You can't just shut that down. I know, that's what they usually try to say, but my question is, constitutionally first, where does that allow us to actually have an agency like that? Because if there is an issue, then Congress should be looking at it. They can't just pawn off their duties and be like, well, I need my time to call for money for re-election campaigns. I need my time to go on the trail. I need my time to do other things. So, hey, EPA, go ahead and just deal with this issue at all. And if we want an Environmental Protection Agency, then why don't we have one at the state level? I mean, I got to give California credit here for just a second. I may not agree with the fact that they have one of the largest EPA departments at a statewide level out of the entire nation. But as a state, that's their prerogative. And if the people in the state are willing to pay massive amounts of tax money in order to fund a statewide EPA and their ridiculous regulations to where you could actually get fined for having smells and odors of a barbecue floating over your backyard fence to your neighbor and they don't like it and they call on you and you can get citations for that and fines for that, if that's what they choose to do, then you know what? That's on them as a state. I'm not going to do something like that federally. That's on the state level. Well, Andy, there's a lot of interstate commerce going on between businesses. You're absolutely right. Which is why the states need to work on that. But the federal government should not be involved. I mean, unless you can show me exactly in the Constitution where it says the federal government shall collect taxes to regulate environmental issues. And it does not. So therefore, by default, it should be going back to the states. Real quickly, for some that seem to like just bloating the size of government because we like our hands being held in the nanny state movement and just give the government all of our tax money because they can spend it more wisely than us sort of thing, the Bernie Sanders movement is gaining traction. We're getting ready for Super Tuesday. Is it next week? Good golly, next week already. Super Tuesday is coming up. Bernie Sanders in the lead with the delegates. And yet, he doesn't think he has enough to be able to get locked in and cheered before the convention in June in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, here's the way the Democrats work, as we talked about earlier-ish a little bit, is that their convention, if they don't have a certain amount of delegates, which is like 1,900 delegates, I think, they have to hit that mark in order to be locked in with the nomination by the convention in June. If they do not have that, then the superdelegates, which are elected officials within the Democrat Party who think that they know just as much as the voters do across the nation, they get to cast their vote on who's going to actually be the nominee, and they somehow have more power and influence by per vote than the average voter does across the nation. So I always say, as a Democrat, if I were a Democrat, I would be absolutely livid with this process, because does my vote really count if elected officials get to be super delegates and have a larger say than my vote as a voter in a caucus or a primary in whatever state I'm in? I mean, that would burn me up. Republicans don't do that. Republicans are like, no, it's only the voter. It's not going to be elected officials. Yeah, we have to learn to work with whoever we choose to work with at the end of the day, because the voter chose them. We're not going to have a say in this process. It is up to you. We're going to allow the candidate to say they want to run as a Republican. If they hold those values, then the voters will see that, and the voters will vote on that candidate. That's the way Republicans work. To me, that seems like a fair deal, right? Democrats are like, well, yeah, you can do that. At the same time, we're a coalition in D.C., and therefore we need to all work together. So we should have a say on who we'd like to work with. And that leads to no type of establishment or elitism, right? At all. In any way, shape, or form. Said Andy with sarcasm. So, according to CommonDreams.org, here's the latest. So there was an interview with over 100 Democrat superdelegates, meaning elected officials about ready to go to the convention, as they told the New York Times in multiple interviews this week that if Senator Bernie Sanders does not arrive at the party's 2020 convention in July, I'm sorry, July, not June, in July with a majority of pledged delegates, meaning he doesn't hit that 1,900, that they are willing to thwart the will of the plurality with primary voters and potentially risk damaging the Democrats' chances of defeating President Donald Trump in order to stop Sanders from winning the nomination. Meaning, he might be the leader going into the convention in July. He could have 1,800 delegates. Needs 1,900 to win. He could have 1,800. He could be the front runner. Everybody else could be, you know, hundreds of delegates behind. And yet, the superdelegates are so adamant against supporting Bernie Sanders to make him the nominee that they could vote the other way, bring somebody up, make them become the majority. Let me think who that could be for a second. Oh, yeah, that's right. Michael Bloomberg, probably, with a Hillary Clinton on the running ticket, because now she says she wants in, that it was stolen from her in the 2016 election from Donald Trump because he colluded with Russia. Even though she has best buddies with Russia and Joe Biden's son works for the Ukrainians and all that. But what doesn't matter? I mean, Donald Trump's the evil one that has colluded with Russia. Even though the Russians kind of like the collapse of America based on financial implosion from higher spending. But Donald Trump's going to be the collusion with Russia. And he stole it from Hillary Clinton. It was guaranteed. She should have had it. She's a woman, by golly. And she is entitled to it because she could claim the hashtag MeToo movement against President Donald Trump for stealing the election from her. That's right. I said it. The hashtag MeToo movement applies to Hillary Clinton, God forbid, because Donald Trump stole the election from her. She is a victim in this, and she is the leader of that party, and she will be on that running ticket with Michael Bloomberg, and the superdelegates who are in her pocket, more than likely, will throw out Bernie Sanders, even if he has the majority going into it. Not the majority, but he's the front runner at that time, and vote for somebody else. They're that desperate to not make Bernie Sanders the nominee. Now, there's a few reasons why, and we've talked about them. I feel bad for Bernie, personally. I would love him to get the nomination because he would get absolutely destroyed in about a 90-10% election. It would be bad. I mean, there are bankers, there are CEOs, there are people that are majoritively on the left side of the aisle that have historically always donated to the left side of the aisle, always been Democrats that are out and saying, I would prefer to vote for Donald Trump over Bernie Sanders. You have blue-collar workers that are terrified of having a 52% tax rate because it's already tough to live and buy food for your table at home to provide for your family if you're a blue-collar worker, construction or factory, whatever you do, and yet you want half of your paycheck now to go to the government. It's already at like 20% if you look at it. 30%, if you really look at it. But no, we need even more to pay for the things, which, by the way, one of these shows here, probably next week at some point, we're going to go through the entire Bernie Sanders platform and break it down point by point so we can actually understand true facts of what he's trying to do and then break it down into reality of what can and cannot be actual plausible. So we'll do that here soon. Don't worry. But the Democrats are desperate not for him to get that nomination because they're scared he's going to be too fringe. They're scared that the Democrats are not going to have an actual platform to run on that's going to win, and they're scared to death of him losing to Donald Trump. They think that Michael Bloomberg can buy his way in, and they'd rather have someone buy his way in than actually win it through the votes, because Bernie Sanders just can't do that. So there it is. They've admitted. The superdelegates from the Times, New York Times, has actually admitted. Over 100 of them have admitted that if he does not have the locked-in plurality of the 1,900 delegates that he needs to actually get the nomination before the convention in July, that they will vote otherwise and upset the Democrat base. A third of the Democrat voters that are going to say, sorry, we're not going to show up because you stole it from us again. And they're willing to do that for the sake of, we hate Bernie Sanders that much. As a Republican, I kind of enjoy the bickering like this, and I kind of enjoy them imploding on themselves because it is quite entertaining, and we knew it would get to this point eventually, the farther extreme that they actually go. But as a Democrat, if I were a Democrat, I would feel horrible. I'd feel frustrated as beyond belief, and I'd feel absolutely betrayed by my elected officials that would be voting against my own will because we're supposed to be the ones that actually had the voice, right? But it doesn't always work that way. We try, but it doesn't always work that way. One of these shows as well, what we're going to do is, you know, this is podcasting, so it's a little bit more free loosey-goosey. We're going to have a deeper discussion when it comes to, like, the Electoral College, because there's still this movement about the national popular vote. And Bernie Sanders would love the idea of the national popular vote, because when we go into a general election, And he says, well, I won the popular vote by 2 million votes, as Hillary Clinton did over Donald Trump, but yet he won the nomination based on the Electoral College. They say that that's a rigged system, and it's not, but Bernie Sanders would say the same thing. Elizabeth Warren has talked about removing the Electoral College and doing a national popular vote, because they know that the cities, the 5 or 10 cities across the nation, would dominate the rest of the rural communities, and all they got to do is campaign there. They already won! They already won! There's nothing to even worry about, because they would win those areas, they would get the nomination, or they would get the victory in November, and we would never see a Republican elected official ever again. Now, some are going to say, well, Andy, if you do that, well, that just means Republicans need to try harder in the cities. This is what started the Civil War, if you're aware or not. Let's go back into history, shall we? That there are two different types of lifestyles, two different types of living standards, two different types of needs and demands that certain communities need, and they're so vastly different that we had a hard time making them coexist together for a while. You had the North that was more manufacturing, you had the South that was more agriculture, you had the South that had slavery, which wasn't a good thing, you had the North that was had a little bit of slavery, but was trying to like not be slave-like, and you were trying to say, well, the South was like, oh, we don't have as much population to have as much reputation in the representation in the federal government. The North was saying, well, you don't count them as people because they're slaves, so too bad, so sad. And it started a war. Because the South is saying, wait a second, you're taxing our cotton, you're taxing our guns, you're not counting us with the right amount of people for the House of Representatives based on our population of our states. We're not being counted properly. We don't have a proper say in the federal government. We're going to start our own nation. To hell with you guys. We're going to do our own thing. That's what started the Civil War, not slavery. Because you hear in public education now, too, oh, it was all about slavery when it came to the Civil War. It was a part of it. It wasn't the entire thing. That's history that some people need to understand. There's a lot more that went into it. So now we're being taught as well that apparently slavery was just the thing that made... this is where it really gets frustrating. That slavery, apparently, was the involvement of every single major war that the United States has been involved in, and that we promote the idea of slavery. Because we already have been taught that the Civil War has been fought based solely on 80-90% that it was about abolishing slavery. Which, again, it was part of it, not the entire thing. And now we're being taught that apparently the Revolutionary War was fought to promote slavery. According to the FederalistPapers.org, the New York Times 1616 Project, a curriculum that makes the fantastical claim that a primary cause of the Revolutionary War was the colonists' desire to protect slavery, has been adopted in 3,500 classrooms across all 50 states. Think about this for a second. Over 3,000 classrooms across the nation in all 50 states have now signed on to a history book that said that the colonists' main desire is to promote slavery. That's why we broke away from England. That's why we started this whole revolution thing, was to promote slavery. Now, I don't know if you're aware or not, but the United Kingdom also had slavery. Many of the first slaves that came over during the time pre-Revolutionary War were white individuals and Irish because they were cheap. It was more expensive to go to Africa to get the Africans to bring them to America or the colonies at that time to sell them, as opposed to grabbing the Irish, who they still hated at that time, to bring over to the Americas and sell as slaves.
And they weren't slaves, they were in servitude.
Okay. Give me a break. And we talk about this on our special St. Patrick's Day episode every single year. But as we talk about slavery, first off, it's not just one gender or one color or one whatever that was slaves. So they're the big victims of the world because there are many different colors of people who have been slaves, even in the United States. And the first ones were the Irish over here because the United Kingdom obviously was right there. The Britons grabbed the Irish and brought them over to be servants in the new land. And that was still a thing. But apparently... in the new history books in 3,500 classrooms across the nation, that now that is the promotion of slavery, and that's why we started our own nation. The Pulitzer Center, which is partnering with the Times to promote the 1619 Project, recounted in its 2019 annual report, good journalism, innovative educational resources, and deep community engagement are absolutely essential to bridging the divisions that threaten to rip our democracy apart. It's the belief that it's driven the Pulitzer Center for the last 14 years. Now, Nicole Hannah-Jones, and of course Nicole has to be spelled differently, Nicole, the Times lead writer on the project, argued in her introductory essay saying, quote, so that way you're just not thinking I'm making this up. Here's what she says. The United States is a nation founded on both an ideal and a lie. You know, because we're patriotic and love our nation. It's founded on both an ideal and a lie. Our Declaration of Independence, approved on July 4th, 1776, proclaims that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. But the white men who drafted these words do not believe in them to be true for the hundreds of thousands of black people in their midst. Now, Nicole went on to contend the quote that the year 1619 is as important to American story as 1776. Conveniently left out our founding mythology is the fact that one of our primary reasons the colonists decided to declare their independence from Britain was because they wanted to protect the institution of slavery. Now, I don't know if you're aware or not, but the United Kingdom didn't abolish slavery until after that, many years after, and we came just a few years thereafter as well, in the mid-1800s. And if you would read, Nicole, if you would read any of the Federalist or Anti-Federalist papers, or any historical writing of any of our founding fathers, many of them advocated for the abolishment of slavery, but figured, you know, that's a major issue that would really rock our economy, and as we're trying to get a nation started, yes, all men are created equal under God with unalienable right. We totally believe that. It is wrong with what we're doing, but it's a political movement that is just too big for us to tackle at this time because that is the nature of the beast at this time. It is a norm in society. That's what is happening. No, we don't want it, but we can't do much about it right now because, you know, we're trying to, like, start a nation. And they left it open with their words and with their writings, and those words like that, that all men are created equal under God with inalienable rights. They did that for a purpose, to know that our generation, starting a nation that was going to be the best for everybody, the nation with the streets paved with gold, the opportunity and land of the free for everybody to come here, they knew that as our society evolved, that it was going, if it was going to be a successful nation, it was going to be done with one that would abolish slavery. And we did. Did it. We fulfilled the prophecy and the commitment and the goal and the dreams of the founding fathers. But this is the garbage that's being taught in our public education system. 3,500 schools across the nation in all 50 states. This is what's being taught, that it wants to promote slavery. Now, that doesn't even make any sense because Britain had slaves just as much as the United States did at that time. When we said, all right, enough's enough. Had nothing to do with taxes, right? That Tea Party thing, you know, trying to the Boston Tea Party, throwing the tea into the lake because we're tired of the taxes. The 2% tax, by the way, we get taxed at, what, a 30% rate, 35% rate when it's all said and done at the end of the day. And they said, oh, 2% tax increase? Ha! Watch this! Kick the tea into the Boston River. When the government said, you know what? You guys are getting to be a little bit too independent, a little bit too strong. We're going to come and take your cannons away because, you know, individuals were allowed to actually purchase cannons as individual property. You know, that whole Second Amendment thing.
All you need is a musket. That's all the Second Amendment protects.
Now, when the government said, we're going to come and take private cannons away, we said, uh-uh, girlfriend, that ain't going to happen. We're going to defend those and come and take them, baby. And that's why we had the Don't Tread on Me snake. The don't tread on me. The colonies that said, you're not going to walk all over us. We are going to do our own thing. We are sovereign states. Which goes back to the other argument with getting rid of the Environmental Protection Agency, because the government, federal government, does not have that power under the Supremacy Clause, which is a whole other discussion that will take hours to do. But it's the states as sovereign states. We are the United States of America, not the United Union of America, because every state is sovereign in its own that delegates very specific limited powers to the federal government because, well, we abide by the nation. But they're still states. And if that were the case, then we wouldn't have state courts. If that were the case, then we wouldn't have state regulations or a state government. We would give all that up and say, federal government, do everything for us because we love you so dearly and you are the great mastermind. You are the mothership. You are the mother country that's going to take care of us in every way. But that's not the way we operate, because the states are sovereign. Back then when we were fighting the Revolutionary War, we had armies that were by the states, the militias that were from the states. And then we tried to band together to make one Union army to fight against Great Britain. And it was for freedom, with the idea of freedom. But this is being taught to our children. This is brainwashing our children, and this is why I have such a hard time with the public education system. And then when other yahoos are like, well, we need free college, and we just need to raise our taxes to pay for free college. This is the kind of garbage that's going to be taught at a deeper level, because this is getting to the 8 and 10 and 12-year-olds. Imagine what they're going to be like by college age when they've been taught this and they go to college and it's like, not only is it a white supremacy thing fighting for our nation and why we actually started our nation was because of slavery to promote slavery, but now they're evil because they're white, they're privileged, they're a man, and now you need to learn about the gender, and you need to learn about the transsexual gender, and you need to learn about this one, and oh, let's just take it to a whole new level. Welcome to the public education system yet again. All right, we'll take a break. We got a lot of comments commenting all over the social media sites. So I'll read some of those. We'll get those when we come back. We'll get your thoughts on it. Give us a call as well. By the way, go onto the Podbean app. If you're listening, download Podbean onto your smartphone. You can listen to the live stream and you can call in that way. We can take your call that way. We'd love to hear from you. Have you heard of this curriculum? And what do we do to try and re-educate our children so that way this is not the case? Because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I had a hard enough time learning that 80% that the only thing that they taught in school was that the Civil War was fought against slavery to abolish slavery instead of cotton taxes or gun taxes or, you know, lack of representation and, you know, that whole thing, you know, during the presidential election when the South said, wait a second, we voted and actually our count did very little because the North completely chose our president. We don't like that. We're starting our own deal. Goodbye. We don't hear about that kind of history. You have to read that on your own and figure it out on your own because that's not necessarily the entire story, what they teach you in school. We have to figure it out by ourselves. The same with that. I mean, that's a perfect example for the Electoral College. We don't feel represented. If we do a national popular vote, goodbye, entire middle part of the nation. And hello, California, Texas, Florida, Ohio, and New York. That's about it. Those are about the states that would actually choose every presidential election. And if you're not one of those, then you really don't need to even show up and vote because you'll be voted out. All right. Anyways, we'll take a break here. We'll get ready to wrap the show because it's going very, very quickly tonight for some reason, but a very good discussion. So we'll get your thoughts and calls when we come back here on the Hoosier Media Network.
It's been a long, fun, nerve-wracking, and exciting journey to relaunch the program as an independent entity. Now we've launched our very own Hoosier Media Network to give you more content, more shows, more talk on even many more different topics as well. We now have full reign to help fight for constitutional principles, traditional values, and even just individual improvement. But we need your help to reach more people. If you own a business or you want to help the show in any way, we're excited to work with our partners to take your message and ours to the next level. Together, we can educate, entertain, and bring wisdom and information to those who want it and to those who possibly need it. Let's fight for what's right together. Email us today at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Again, if you're a business owner looking to get your brand out or someone that just wants to help support the cause, we want to support you and support that cause as well. Email us at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Again, HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Also, for more information, content on the show, or to reach us as well, go to HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. As the show keeps growing, I want to make sure each and every Hoosier-holic stays in the loop. That's why you need to check out HoosierReason.com. Catch the weekly blog informing you on the latest news of the show, upcoming projects, and more. Plus, you can watch live shows, listen to all the podcasts, find affiliates of the show, catch special features, and a heck of a lot more. Plus, make sure to subscribe to our site and become an official Hoosier-holic. Get your monthly newsletter, latest news about the show, and recaps of current events all right to your email. It's the fastest-growing show in America. Don't miss a beat. Go to HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Hey, miss a show? Don't worry about it. You have plenty of ways to watch, learn, and be entertained while enjoying The Voice of Reason anytime that you want. And here's how to do it. First, become a Hoosier-holic by going to HoosierReason.com and subscribing to the site newsletter to stay up on the latest. Second, subscribe to the podcast. Under the show podcast tab, click on the link to the Podbean site and subscribe. You'll get notified anytime new audio pops up. Plus, if you have iTunes or Spotify, you can subscribe to The Voice of Reason on those as well and have the shows automatically downloaded to your device. Third, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com and search my name, Andy Hoosier, and subscribe to the page. There you can follow all of our live shows, posted videos, and more. All the links and info are at HoosierReason.com. Again, HoosierReason.com. Hey, it's Andy Hoosier. Want to join the show? We'd love to hear your thoughts during the program. And it's easy. First, send us a chat on the Facebook Live or YouTube Live streaming during the show anytime. Also, join us in the live chat room at HoosierReason.com. Just click on the Listen Live tab, watch the live stream, and chat with other listeners. You can also chat and even call into the show through the Podbean app. Just download the Podbean app on your smartphone, join the live stream, chat with other listeners, and even call us live through the Podbean app. You can argue with me, debate with me, or just let me know your thoughts of the show. No matter how you do it, be part of the show. Why? Because it's your show, and it's kind of the reasonable thing to do. The Voice of Reason, the show where you can chat, comment, or call in live each day during the program. All the information's at HoosierReason.com.
Live from the Hoosier Media Studios, it's the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
All right, welcome back into the program here on the Hoosier Media Network. I get to listen to that. Jam it, baby. Feel it in your soul. Let it ride. There's actually some new songs that came out that we're going to be adding into the rotation soon because they're just awesome that I've been hearing. So we'll get some of that. So we need to freshen it up, keep it live, keep it fresh, lively. And people are like, oh, my ears hurt. It's so angry. But yet, you know what? Sometimes you just have to get that out of your system. There's a guest that we need to get on the program, and I'm glad that our listener Scott on the Podbean Live had mentioned it, Chris Ann Hall. If you've not heard of her, you can go to chrisannhall.com and check her out. She is absolutely fantastic, and everything that we've talked about on constitutional regulations, the supremacy clause, the separation of church and state, the separation of powers, the federal government to the states, federalism, essentially. She is such an expert on that stuff, it is ridiculous, and she doesn't take political sides. Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, it is straight to the point. What does the Constitution say as an actual document? And it's so fantastic. We've chatted with her a few times on the great KQAM out in Kansas, and it was fun to chat with her, and we need to get her on the program now that we're doing a podcast. We can have a little more in-depth discussion with her, so we'll get her hopefully on the program soon. Speaking of guests, tonight we were going to, some were like, wait a second, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. We were going to have on Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th Congressional District tonight, live from D.C., because he is actually at the CPAC convention, which if you've never gone, I highly recommend it. Like, I feel so left out right now that I'm sitting here in Ohio, and there's a conservative political action conference in Washington, D.C., because it is by far one of the coolest experiences you will ever experience in your entire life. I went twice when I was in college. I swear I'm going to go back. I've told my wife, Mrs. Voice of Reason, this many times, that we will go at some point. We will go to the Conservative Political Action Conference. Because if you've never gone, it's at a five-star hotel with about six big conference rooms that hold about 2,000, 3,000 people apiece. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they have speeches and big panel discussions and big things going on in every single room all day long, and you bounce around from room to room to room and hear all these great speakers from, at that time, it was like Newt Gingrich and Joe the Plumber, if anybody remembers that, and Ron Paul and Mitt Romney. Now we're like, Mitt Romney, which he's never been really conservative, but he was there at a time. They'll bring on a lot of different candidates, but then the years I got to go, one year it was President George W. Bush, the next year was Rush Limbaugh. I mean, you get the picture. I got my tie. I actually was wearing a tie. I had it signed by Ann Coulter because that's just awesome. Meeting Amanda Carpenter. She was a contributor for Fox News and CNN for a while. Now she's the speechwriter for Ted Cruz. And it's so cool to meet all these people that you see day in and day out in the political world. CPAC is by far one of the best things you will ever experience in your entire life. It's the feel good, re-energize you, get that fire lit again to continue to fight for the right thing. Anyways, he was going to join us. Congressman Ron Estes was going to join us tonight. He had a scheduling conflict, wasn't able to do it. So we're going to get him on next week. No worries. We'll get him on and chat with him. Also, we did sit down with him this morning and recorded it. We're going to play it probably Monday or Tuesday next week. But Congressman Bob Latta from the 5th Congressional District here in Ohio, in the northwest state or northwest corner of the state that we live in, he is our current representative for this area, and we sat down and chatted with him earlier today as well, so we're going to play that interview next week. So make sure, all next week, we're going to have some really cool guests and elected officials and stuff, so don't miss that next week at all, because it's going to be super duper awesome for sure. Let's see, where do we want to go here? So, by the way, I want to do this. I wasn't going to, but why the heck not? There is, and it's about 5 minutes long, so bear with us on this, but there is a really important There's a really important video that someone sent me that I think we need to play. And it's, again, it's about 5 minutes long. It's more of like a PSA thing. But as we see the coronavirus going viral all over the place, like literally totally viral, dude, as it goes all over the place, it is something that I think we need to hear. And I may not play the whole thing, because it kind of repeats itself a little bit. But it is a doctor talking about the coronavirus, what it is, and how we can prevent it. Because now that it's spreading elsewhere, and, you know, I got a cold and may get a little paranoid that I had the coronavirus. See? You never know. I don't know. The Voice of Reason's corona. Although I don't have one with me right now, so that makes me sad. But this explains a little bit about what the virus is, how it attaches to, and how you can prevent that from you getting sick, which could be anything from a mild cold, like me, or whether it's something more severe. So this is what this has to say. It's kind of your PSA about the epidemic.
So we need to get the facts straight. How does this virus work? How does it transmit? Where does it want to go? And let's protect ourselves. I'm Dr. Peter Lin. I'm a family physician in Toronto, Canada. The coronavirus is a family of viruses that can cause as mild things as just a common cold, all the way up to SARS or MERS. These are these bad pneumonias that we're talking about. And basically what these viruses are, they look like a tennis ball with all these spikes sticking out of it. And depending on the type of spike, it allows that virus to attach to certain places. So some viruses, they have the spike that attaches to your nose. So basically you just get a common cold. But the SARS virus and this new virus that we're talking about has the spike that allows it to attach to the cells in your lung. And when it attaches there, it puts in information to make photocopies of itself. So it uses our equipment to make more viruses.
I'm declaring a public health emergency of international concern over the global outbreak of novel coronavirus.
Most of the coronaviruses live in animals. In this particular case, it was from Wuhan. There was a fish market where they were selling live animals. And the thought is that the virus was in a live animal, then it crossed into a human. But then what we found was that people were getting sick in terms of healthcare workers, in terms of family members that were looking after them, which now meant that the virus can pass from human to another human. Just like all viruses, it needs to reach a target, which is your lung. And it has to get there with your help. It has no feet and no wings. So therefore, it needs us to move it there. So that's why we keep saying, don't hang around sneezy people, because you're gonna breathe it in. And don't touch your face, because that's how the virus is gonna get in. The masks are helpful, but they're not necessary, because they're leaky. The ones that you and I buy basically have pockets here, so therefore the virus can get in. What the masks really do is they stop us from touching our face. If you're sick, we tend to mask you, so therefore you're not spewing out the viruses to other people sitting around you. The true people that have the real masks are the N95. Those are sealed. These are for the doctors that may be caring for the patients. So in the beginning, the coronavirus will cause kind of like flu-like symptoms or a cold. So people just get the stuffy nose, that kind of thing. But you'll understand that as soon as that virus starts manufacturing in your lung cells, they're producing all these copies of the virus, all of a sudden now you kill the lung cells. So now you can't exchange oxygen. And that's why one of the early symptoms is people get very short of breath and they tend to have a difficult time breathing. And that's why they end up in hospital. So currently, unfortunately, we don't have a direct treatment for the coronavirus. So we don't have a medication that can kill it off. And so it's really supportive. So in other words, the patient can't breathe. We give them oxygen, help them to breathe. They can't drink. So therefore, we give them fluids to support them. Their kidneys begin to shut down. We help them with all those things. So it's a very supportive process. This is a new virus that we've never seen before. So our immune system, our army, are having a hard time figuring out what to do. So usually what we have to do is we make something called antibodies. So these are things that can grab onto the spikes that we see on the virus, and it'll get rid of the virus for you. And that will actually bring you back to good health.
All right, there you go. So that's enough of it. We can, you know, figure it out from there. So, you know, your body building the antibodies, they can try and boost that. And it's going to be dangerous for children and the elderly because they're more vulnerable to that sort of thing. It's weird. So here's the problem that I have. And we see the headlines. It's all over Drudge Report, all over Fox News, all over MSNBC, all the good jazz about the coronavirus. And I know that there's jokes about this online, and it's kind of true. Being a millennial myself, I have a very hard time getting worried about epidemics and just these big mass things that happen, because we've gone through bird flu, we've gone through the coronavirus, we've gone through so many things that we're just like, whatever. But here's my theory, and let's put on the tinfoil hat for just a second and think a little bit deeper. Have we not been the ones that have created this in the first place? We go and we try and create different anti-venoms, anti-syrups, anti-whatever to try and prevent it, the flu shot. So that way you can get affected by it and you can build up the antibody, but then we try and clean our hands. We have the disinfectants. We can kill 99.99% of germs on your hand with Lysol or some type of hand cleanser or some type of disinfectant wipe or something. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But because of all of that, in biology, there's evolution. In biology, there's going to be adaptations, and in biology, there's going to be things that when you try and counter it, it's going to evolve and change to where you get susceptible to it again. There's always going to be something, whether it's just the way that biology and that Darwinism actually works, whether it's God saying that there's always going to be some type of plague killing people off, no matter what you believe in, there's always going to be something. And as we try to find ways to prevent it and make ourselves healthier to be blocked from it, God or the earth or biology or whatever it's going to be is going to find some way to make something bigger and stronger. We've created these super bugs, which is why many, and I know that they get a hard time for it, but a lot of the anti-vaccine people, which I'm not an anti-vaxxer, I'm a limited vaccine person. I don't like the flu shot. I don't like that kind of stuff. But I am limited vaccine, that I think that it's kind of a natural way for you to get immune to it by being sick, getting affected by it, and then building up your body's immunity and white blood cells and all that good jazz to be able to fight those things. And I think that's the healthy way to do it. Let the kid eat dirt, for crying out loud, outside once in a while. At the same time, you don't let them walk around in their filth all the time. You obviously clean them up, but you got to let them just kind of do their thing. And that way they can build it. Because now we've created, for many, the bubbles to where they get sick more frequently because we've tried to protect too much. I don't know. The superbugs have been created by us. Is this something we created or something that's actually been out there for a while? Obviously, it's been there for a while because animals had it and it got transmitted to humans, which is a little strange as well, unless, you know, we eat it. But I'd hate to see what else is going on in the world. I don't know. So that's my theory on those. But just be cautious. I mean, I have the cold right now. Do I think it's the coronavirus? I don't know. Never know. Drive me nuts. I can't breathe, but nonetheless, here we are. But be safe. It's also like, I don't know, flu season, because the weather's starting to change, starting to get a little bit warmer, and then it gets cold again. And then it gets a little bit warm, and then it gets cold again. Thanks, global warming, you jerk. So we have that issue as well. And I thought, by the way, if the climate's getting warmer, then maybe that's the cause of it too. I'm predicting that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the hard left progressives, they're going to be saying that we created this because global warming caused the earth to warm up a little bit, and therefore the virus was able to spread because they like nice, warm, moist areas. And since we created that nice, warm, moist environment, then we had the opportunity to actually create something like a coronavirus or whatever superbug that may be out there at this time. I don't know. You know they're going to blame us some reason.
Donald Trump, like, did trade with China, so they tried to kill us off with coronavirus. They should have just left it alone.
You know that's going to happen. Come on. Actually, right now they're attacking him for Vice President Mike Pence actually handling the issue, and they're like, oh, he's just going to pray it away, and that's not going to work, so you jerk not being able to handle that properly. And then you hear the other ones that are like, well, the panel that everybody's addressing is all, like, not women, so therefore they hate women and they want women to die from the coronavirus. See, everything's got to be politicized. It's all about identity politics, and the progressive hard left is actually more concerned about the politics of it than actually trying to address an issue. Is it an issue? Yeah, let's make sure that no more people die. There's a lot of people dying in the world, a lot of people getting sick, and it is starting to spread across the U.S., so let's take preventative measures. But I have a hard time. I have to admit, I have a hard time with it because when I'm thinking, I rub my beard and I ponder, and that's my thinking. So if I have it on my hand, as he said, and then it gets in me, it's because I'm rubbing my beard because I'm in deep thoughts. And that's a normal thing for guys, right? I mean, we have to like make sure our beard's still there and make sure it feels soft and wonderful. That's apparently what guys do. All right, we're out of time, but appreciate you hanging out with us all over Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn, plus the Podbean live stream. We got a lot of good comments on there, so I appreciate that. Back at it next week. Well, hopefully we're not going to get worse off, and we can be here Monday through Friday next week and have some fun. We got some great guests coming up. We have both congressmen that are going to be joining the show. We haven't had him yet. He was going to be our first guest, and then we had an issue, and he wasn't able to join. But Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio, we'll get him back on the show hopefully next week as well, along with some great other guests. So until then, Remember, the show's not about me, it's all about you. I'm just the catalyst to make you the local activist to try and change the community around you, because when you do that, then you prove you don't need the government to do it, because it's time for you and me. It's time for us to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason, as this is The Voice of Reason here on the Hoosier Media Network. Everybody have a great Friday evening, have a great weekend, enjoy it, back at it on Monday.